This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now, with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Beside the broadcast desk, I have in my bookcase a half a dozen books, both spiritual, religious, and secular, that purport to give us a listing of words and topics and so on that you can look up and find out what kind of quotations have been made throughout history. And they're fascinating to read. And I love to go to them once in a while. They can be very helpful. But today, before this broadcast, I went to those books, every single one of them. And I looked for a particular word. It's the S word for today. Surrender. And here's what I found. Absolutely nothing. That's what I found. Absolutely nothing. The word surrender did not appear in any of those books of quotations. Even though there were thousands and thousands of words and quotations, the word surrender did not appear. Now, what do you think that is? Just take a guess. I think the reason is because surrender just isn't something that we want to do. In fact, it's so much something we don't want to do, we don't even want to talk about it, because to talk about it is the antithesis of who we are. But we're going to talk about surrender today. It's the S word of the day. And we have a special guest joining us, Mercy Lokolutu, with her book, As You Wish. It's all about the concept of surrender and how you and I will find our ultimate place, our ultimate purpose, our ultimate power in surrender to God. Now, many of us have heard this conversation before in our churches and so on, but we've had a very, very difficult time in putting it to practice. In fact, the concept, the very concept of surrender is so contrary to the human spirit in general, the unregenerated human spirit, that we just don't want to go there. It's as if we're denying ourselves or the reality of our very being to even think about surrender. Yet that's exactly what the Bible says that we must do if we have any hope to be aligned with God's plan and purpose in our lives. So, there we are. We've laid it out on the table. Mercy Lokolutu joining us, As You Wish. Mercy, it's good to have you on the program.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Now, I would be curious to know what caused you to write a book about something that nobody wants to talk about.
You know, I think we don't want to talk about it, but we need to talk about it. So in a lot of ways, I felt the Holy Spirit guiding me towards a target that we may not see, but happens to be the very key to unlock a lot of things and struggles in our lives. So the fact that we're not talking about it doesn't mean we don't need to. I believe it's a very timely word for the church today. I believe it's a timely word for the next generation especially.
Well, I agree with you. In fact, I agree with you greatly, and that's why we're talking about this here on Viewpoint today. The Bible says that we are not our own, that we are bought with a price. Therefore, my life, once I become a follower of Jesus Christ, I have actually agreed to surrender or give up my claim to myself and surrender, submit entirely to God. Now, that's the theory of it. Why is it that it doesn't seem to work out that way?
You know, it's just not convenient. It's not convenient to our flesh. It's not convenient for our desires. It's not convenient to our carnal nature. And anything that's not convenient is going to make it very difficult to do practically.
All right.
I think for a lot of people, surrender may be a one-time decision that you do when you say the sinner's prayer, when in fact, it's a lifelong process.
Well, indeed it is, and that's why I think we have a church in America today that, as some say, is you know, 3,000 miles wide, but barely an inch deep. In other words, there's very little substance anymore to the professing, even the evangelical church in America. When you look across the country, and what we do here on this program, we don't talk just to the abstract mercy. You need to know that. We apply the truth, and even sometimes in sticky places where it hurts. And one of the areas that I think is the most telling area that shows that we are almost 100% unsurrendered to God is the divorce rate in the church. For the past 25 years, the divorce rate in the professing Christian community in this country has equaled or exceeded the nation as a whole. And in the Bible Belt of America, the divorce rate has exceeded the nation as a whole by 50% for about the last 20 years. That says to me that we are almost totally unsubmitted to the Word of God, the will of God, and the ways of God from pulpit to pew.
Yeah, you know, I would have to agree with that, especially as a woman. And that's the reason why, as you wish, you deal so strongly with this idea of not just surrender, but submission as well, and understanding what that really means for a woman in a marriage.
Well, that's true.
Unabashedly.
And yet, the very word submit is despised by women in America, largely. It has been part of the target of the feminist movement for the last 40, 50 years. And even in our churches, we have the My Rights movement among women. And there's no concept, there's hardly a living concept of the idea of biblical submission of a wife to her husband as unto the Lord, is there?
Right. And for many women, they've bought into the lie that the enemy uses, that he's done since the Garden of Eden with Eve, to distort the truth of God's word and to paint God as a character that he is not. So if God has told us as women, listen, I've given you a covering in your life, it's called your husband, you need to submit to him. And in so doing, you will become everything that you need to be as a woman. We have to trust God at his word. As women, we have to reject the lies of the enemy, embrace the truth of God's word, and understand that the enemy knows how powerful a weapon surrender really is.
Absolutely.
He understands that if we really, truly surrender our lives to God, we would radically change the world.
It would.
Anyone who's ever changed the world has done that because they were surrendered to God, not because of their ability, because of their callings or gifting. It literally is choice by choice, your willingness to die to yourself.
You have given us a very clear and succinct understanding of that, and I think there's no question about it. And it's not that women just have to submit to their husbands, but men have to submit to God. And each of them has to submit to the other in the fear of God. That's what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5. So this matter of submission, the matter of surrender, is huge. In fact, we cannot be victorious in the Christian life or have victorious marriages unless they begin with surrender. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned, my friends.
Believe it or not, God has a secret. It's a life-changing, destiny-determining secret. It is God's secret because the Bible says it is. Yet, God wants to disclose his secret to all who will seek it. Discovering this secret unlocks all of God's blessings and promises, both on earth and for eternity. Unfortunately, this secret has been nearly lost over the past two generations, even in our churches, yet recovering it is America's only hope. That is why Chuck Chrismeyer's new book, The Secret of the Lord, is critical for this unique moment of history. A prominent pastor calls The Secret of the Lord compelling, a must-read for every Christian who loves America. Get your copy of The Secret of the Lord today, just $20 for this hard-bound, hope-giving book. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or order online. SaveUs.org. That's SaveUs.org. So important is God's secret that it is God's final message to our planet. Get your copy today.
Well, Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. We're becoming Christians that count for the kingdom today as we talk about the S word, surrender. And there's another S word that's a corollary of it, submission. Now, isn't it interesting that in the last 40 to 50 years, we have absolutely rebelled against the concept of surrender and submission within our marriages? You know why? The reason is because we have similarly rebelled against surrender and submission in our relationship with the Lord. And why have we done that? Can I suggest to you the reason we have done that is because we have come more and more to believe that we are equal with God. That's right. We've come to believe that we're equal with God, and we have a right to stand up to Him and against Him even if we disagree with His word, if we disagree with His will, if we disagree with His ways, whether it has to do with marriage and divorce and remarriage, whether it has to do with bitterness, whether it has to do with stealing, whether it has to do with blasphemy. I mean, the church is just overwhelmed with lack of submission and lack of surrender. And the reason, I believe, is because we have lost or abandoned the very concept of the fear of the Lord. If you don't fear the Lord, friends, you will never surrender to Him. Never. Now, fear is not the number one motivation that ought to move us. It's the beginning of the wisdom. You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. What do you think, Mercy?
Yeah. I could not agree more. I think we are very prone to fearing the very thing that will free us. And in this situation, the fear of what you will lose in surrender is so much less than what you actually lose when you do surrender to God, which is nothing other than yourself.
Yeah.
And your flesh and your carnal desires.
Well, this is all about the big, the S words. You've got surrender and submission on the one hand, and you have the big self on the other.
So true. That is so true. Yes, absolutely.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Up there in Maryland where you live, are you guys all infatuated with the me generation up there? Has the me generation swept through Maryland?
Absolutely. I believe it's a worldwide epidemic at this point.
Well, you know, I was in Chicago a year or so ago and for a television interview there, and I saw this massive billboard, and it said, me, me, me. And then I came back and found a national news magazine that said this was now not the me generation, but the me, me, me generation. No
That's
wonder
correct.
We don't surrender.
Absolutely. There's no coincidence that everything that we own electronic-wise starts with I. iPhone, iTunes.
Oh, now you've gone from preaching to meddling, sister, I'll tell you. They're going to send you back to Nigeria.
You know what? I'd be happy to go, but until then, I have a message to preach, and I really believe in this.
Well,
message.
I believe that. I am so thrilled that you are willing to be God's messenger to speak on this very critical subject. Let me ask you another question. As you look at the things that are happening in our world, whether it's in the Middle East, whether it's in this country, wherever it is, do you get the sense that we are living on borrowed time, that we are right on the near edge of the second coming, Mercy?
There is no doubt. I think if you look through eschatology and Revelation, you'll see that there has been no generation that has seen all the signs of the end times as we have.
Yeah.
The red moon and all the different things, the wars, the earthquakes, we've seen all of them in our generation.
Yeah.
If nothing else, it ought to fire the church up to know that, you know what, there's a lost and dying world out there, and if we can get our eyes off ourselves for just a second, God could actually use us to do something significant in the world today.
So it's going to require surrender, which is the one thing that our flesh refuses to do, and yet if we're really on the near edge of the second coming, it's the one thing that we ought to do.
Absolutely. It's actually the very thing that killed the Goliath of self. The surrender is both a stone and a slingshot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stone because it kills the Goliath. It it's a slingshot because as you die to yourself, you feel like you're moving backwards. But really, God is propelling you forward in your life. He's propelling you into your destiny.
Well, it's so also it's not a shield, too, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It shields you from the attack of self that is and pride, which are the most destructive forces to lead us away from submission to God and seeking first the kingdom of God.
Exactly. Pride is very deceptive. It comes in very different forms a lot of times. You can have very sincere desires and dreams, but if you're chasing after the dream rather than the giver of the dream, you've run into a problem.
Okay, I think a lot of people still have trouble with this word and its corollary, the submit word. And yet in the Bible, we find that almost everything is, some people might say, upside down, but the real term for it is a paradox. For instance, you cite in your book, death brings life. The world says save your life. God says lose your life.
Yep.
The Bible says receive through giving. That is, God says it's better to give than to receive. But the world says, no, grab for all the gusto you can and keep it. The Bible says the last will be first and the first will be last. The world says strive to be the first even if it means putting yourself climbing up on top of others.
Right.
The Bible says in the world that we're in the world but not of the world. And yet the world says we're going to satisfy all your needs. And then finally, the Bible says that weakness is strength. God says take pleasure in suffering because when you're weak, his grace is sufficient for us to make us strong. And so it's as if everything that in the natural we think is right from God's perspective is wrong.
Yes, it is counterintuitive. It's just spiritual, supernatural thing. We can't explain it. And that's where faith comes in with this walk with surrender. I really pray that people understand that when you have faith in the person of Jesus Christ and you truly believe that he is good and all he does is good, and he is offering surrender as a path out of the cycle, vicious cycle of fulfilling your flesh, you could truly take him at his word and experience true freedom.
All right, I want to make
an
application here. It might make a few people wince, maybe even you. But our whole nation this week has just been in convulsions. Political convulsions, economic convulsions, moral convulsions. I mean, the word lying and deception has just blanketed our country this week. As we see how the president of the United States has lied through his teeth over and over and over, and we've realized the intentional deception that has come through that entire administration where the very things that they said were not true were actually true and in the documents that they signed and passed. And so we're looking at all of this, and it seems to me that this is not a matter of Democrat or Republican. This is not a matter of liberal or conservative in and of itself. What this is a massive battle of the flesh against the spirit, and our government is seeking to seduce the American people to full surrender and dependency upon it, a godless government, and to shift its trust away from God. Isn't that really what's happening?
I think at the very base level, anything that is not of God seeks to do that. It always wants to set up a counter idol. It always wants to set up a false god and ask us to bow to it. And I think if anything, all of the turmoil that has come out of what has recently happened in our country should develop two things, both a passion for us to reach people with the truth of God's word, number one.
Right.
And number two, an ache in our hearts as Christians. Now, we can't do it the same way the world does it. We can't lie the way they do. When we present the word of God, we have to be a living epistle. And that's what surrender allows you to do, though. People can watch you walking through difficulties and see you maintain your character and maintain your integrity through that. And in so doing, we shine the light on the word of God and on what God is doing through our lives.
So we're to be our very bodies, The things that we do, the things that we say, the attitudes that we express, the values that we hold are all to declare the level of our surrender and submission to the word, the will, and the ways of the Lord.
Absolutely. There is an example I use in the book that I love so much about a young African boy who was in a village church, mm-hmm. as you do in Africa, and he realized he had nothing to give during the offering. And in those times, the offering buckets would be very big because they would put in their livestock, corn, yams, big mm-hmm. items. And so as it was his turn to go to and give his offering, this little boy did something that still embraces and epitomizes the idea of surrender that I tear up every time I think about it. This little boy went in and jumped into the basket.
Okay.
So he was saying, God does not want just some of my money.
Mm-hmm.
He wants all of my heart.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't just want my obedience. He wants my life.
You know, we used to sing a song, all he wants is you, not just a part. He wants all of your heart. All he wants is you. And that's right. What that little boy was showing.
I mean, just amazing. Amazing the revelation that little children have of something that is so simple that we may try to make it difficult and complex.
Now, okay, I want to build on that again for application's sake. I cannot tell you how many people over the past 30, 40, 50 years that I've been in the church and ministry and so on have I heard saying things like, well, I don't tithe because I'm a New Testament Christian. And as a New Testament Christian, God owns everything. He owns everything, all of me. Therefore, I don't tithe. I find that to be a specious argument because the reality is that all of the scriptures in the Bible that says what God owns are in the Old Testament. He owns the silver. He owns the gold. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns our spirit. He owns our soul. Everything that God says he owns, he said in the Old Testament. So what happens is that people become unsubmissive and selfish by claiming God owns it all in the New Testament, and therefore it prohibits them or frustrates them from giving. They don't give more. They actually give less. So that the tithing now in this country, the more we talk about no tithing in the New Testament because God owns it all, the less we're giving, so that at this juncture in American history, the giving to the church and to nonprofits is at its lowest ebb ever. Less than 2% of net income is given by this country to the churches, less than 2%. And even of so-called evangelical churches, the figure is only about 4%. It's less than 4% of net income. We are lying through our teeth. We are radically unsubmitted to God, not only in our attitudes, but even with our resources.
Absolutely. I think that there's a reason why the spirit behind money is mammon, and you can only serve one master. And as much as we can say with our mouths that we serve God, our wallet probably speaks louder. And I think to such a one who maybe is in that place, I really would pray that they would get a revelation of grace. Yes, you're free to do everything, but when love motivates you, you don't approach anything with a closed hand or a closed heart. You approach God with an open hand and an open heart, just as he did for us. And so for such a one, I would pray for just a revelation of grace. When you understand grace, you can't wait to give. When you understand what God did for you on the cross of Calvary, giving is a privilege. We don't have to give. We get to give.
It's because of gratitude, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Gratitude is a corollary of love. And if we really love someone, then we're grateful for who they are and what God has done in bringing them into our lives. And that includes God himself. And that gratitude will loosen up the pocketbook. It'll loosen up our hands, loosen up our homes, and the spirit of hospitality will pour out, won't it? We'll be back after this, friend. Stay tuned. As You Wish. This is a wonderful, wonderful book. Your gift of $15 or more to Save America Ministries is going to put it in your hands. As You Wish. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. 1-800-SAVE-USA. We'll be back. Well, again, we're becoming Christians that count for the kingdom of God. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things would be added unto you. It's just another way of saying, Jesus said, look, submit to God's word, his will and his ways, the principles of the kingdom, the ways of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom. And if you will do that, you will find over time that all the other things that you need and desire as a kingdom person will be added unto you. That's what Jesus said. Unfortunately, most of us just don't quite believe it. Don't quite believe it, so we're not willing to live by faith. We live in fear. Instead of fearing God, we fear man, and the cycle continues ever downward until finally whole nations begin to collapse under the burden of fear of man and the refusal to submit and surrender to God. Wow. So when we say, in God we trust, maybe we ought to be a little more careful when we use that word, lest we should be called a liar. Because if we really are trusting God, we would surrender to him, wouldn't we? We would say, not my will, but thine be done, just as Jesus said, or as our guest today, Mercy Lokaludu, says, as you wish, Lord, as you wish. Now, please, this book is going to help you be victorious in your life. If victory in your Christian life has eluded you, I believe you need to start right here. Surrender may seem like the least likely path to a victorious life, but in the kingdom of God, it just happens to be the only way. Now, here it is. $15, Save America Ministries. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. You're writing a check, add $4 for postage and handling, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Mercy really has a passion and a heart for the Word of God, and I think you can pick that up in her spirit as she's chatting with us here today. She is an inspiration, and she's also coming with a kind of loving boldness here today on Viewpoint. Viewpoint determines destiny, friends. And you make the choice to surrender, and God will help you make the change. That's why his grace is sufficient for you.
Yep.
That's what it's all about. Mercy, I've got to hand it to you, sister. You've hit upon something here that it's not politically correct. It's not multiculturalistic, religious pluralistic, but it is biblical. And it is the only hope that we have to gain victory in the kingdom of God, isn't it?
That's right.
All right. Now, friends, again, your gift of $15 or more to Save America Ministries is going to put the book in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get it on our website, saveus.org, where you can listen to this program any time of the day or night, anywhere in the world. Tell your friends, Romans, and countrymen about it. You know what's been amazing? As I've been interviewed concerning my latest book, King of the Mountain, all across this country in the last several weeks, I found people, even people in the secular realm, going to the website, saveus.org. They've heard something that they feel is so refreshing, so straight out true, without any adulteration, without any pandering, and they go to the website, they see what's there, they listen to some of those programs, and their hearts become gripped. Now, if you tell your friends, Romans and countrymen, the same, they will, many of them will come and be encouraged and strengthened. Who knows but what you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this, just to let them know about that website or about any of the materials that are available there or about even this particular broadcast, this particular interview that anyone will be able to hear come this evening or tomorrow in any event, will be able to hear right there on the archive section of our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Mercy, You say love is the key to surrender. How so?
Yes. Love does not only motivate us. That's what keeps us going through the difficulties that we will engage in, as I did in my own story. Mm-hmm. I share in the book, and that pure love is really what sustains us, because it's easy to start, but how do we maintain that? How do we stay in that place from day to day and decision to decision? Love is the answer.
All right, and you say also that it's not enough to surrender to God once. You have to surrender day by day. Why is
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Because of our flesh. We are dealing with a battle between flesh and a spiritual battle as well. So it's one thing to be a living sacrifice today, but then tomorrow, crawl off the altar, go do your own thing somewhere. So really, it's by the grace of God. And honestly, I believe that that is a missing piece for a lot of people. They have the right intention, but life gets in the way.
Well,
and the money issues come up.
Well, they say the road to hell is based begun on with good intentions.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Well, complete surrender is going to cost us something. No question about it. Freedom isn't free. You got to pay the price. You got to sacrifice for your liberty. Some would say, well, Christ paid it all. All to him I owe. Well, that's true. And what you owe him is surrender. Surrender costs us our self-centered nature, our selfish ambition. We can't exalt God and ourselves at the same time. Daily surrender is what will protect you from being the kind of living sacrifice that keeps crawling off the altar. Wow.
That's right. And I can say that because I've experienced that myself. And I continue to, and I know that for me.
Okay, haven't we? We all experience that, don't we?
Yes. If we're all honest, we do.
So, when we talk about spiritual warfare, what we're really talking about is whether or not we're going to surrender to God's will and his word and his ways. Is that right?
Yes. And I think beneath that, the real issue in surrender is not just that we believe God can do something, it's whether or not we believe that he will.
All right,
trust issue.
All right, so what you're saying is this matter of surrender is not a theoretical thing. Trust is not built in a day.
Yes, it's very practical. And I try to make sure that people understood we're not talking about a theory of surrender. We're talking about actually doing it in your life today.
Yeah. You know, I was standing about 30 years ago, I was standing in a men's retreat. And I had grown up in the church. My father was a pastor, had been for 50 years, and I'd been raised in many of the general evangelical churches of the day from coast to coast. And I'm standing in this men's retreat, and a lot of these men are raising their hands and praising God with a kind of freedom and a kind of joy that I had never seen and never experienced in my growing up. And there was something in me that continued during this weekend retreat to want to participate with them, but I'd never raised my hands before ever in a church setting or in any other setting, really. And so I had this, I began to sense that there was this war going on in my own mind and heart, Mercy. And it went kind of like this. On one shoulder, I sensed the Holy Spirit saying to me, raise your hands, son. Just raise your hands. Release all of this burden, let go, let me begin to take over in your life. Then on the other shoulder, no sooner did that voice come out than another voice said, no, you fool. What do you think this is? You're going to look ridiculous out there. So finally, I went through this over and over and over again. And finally, you know what I did? I can remember it to this day. I raised my hands about quarter mast. Maybe up to my chest level, you know, kind of swung my elbows up. It was the best I could muster at that moment. But I sensed the Holy Spirit saying to me, son, I see that hand.
Yeah.
I see. It was the first step of true and genuine surrender. Now I have no problem raising my hands in freedom and in joy before the Lord.
Yeah.
There's something about raising your hands. Isn't that what we see in some of the movies and so on where, you know, they say stick them up and they, what do? They put their hands up. They surrender.
Yeah. You know, Chuck, I couldn't agree more because I think all of us have a raise your hand moment in our lives.
Mm.
And I likened it to the moment that Jesus had in the Garden of Gethsemane. For me, that moment was when I lost my mom. It's just a moment of when you realize I need to go all in, 100%,
mm-hmm.
or none at all.
Yeah.
There is no halfway surrender.
You know, if I had not listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit 30 years ago or whatever it was in that meeting, I doubt that I'd be behind this microphone talking to you today. Because
wow.
This is the result of continuing acts of surrender that were predicated on that initial act of being willing to say, okay, Lord, I give up that carnal control. I give up that, I'm going to be in control, the pride and so on. I release it. Now do what you will. Isn't
yes.
that what the title of your book is about, As You Wish?
Absolutely. It ties into the idea of when we tell God, as you wish, what we're really saying is, I love you. And in that moment, you're putting yourself in the background and letting God rise to the foreground.
Mm-hmm. You know what really troubles me, though, is I see so many people in worship gatherings and so on, raising their hands and getting all excited, and their lives are a wreck. They refuse to surrender their decisions to the Lord, and they are going wholeheartedly against His word while coming on Sunday or Saturday or whenever they're worshiping and jumping and shouting and raising their hands. It's kind of a mockery, it seems.
You know, I see this a lot with young women in relationships where they are sold out to God, but they have an unsurrendered relationship. And for those girls, then I counsel them. I tell them, you know, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. However, sin kills.
Mm-hmm.
When we sin, something dies. And so we need to understand that there is a price that's been paid for that.
Yeah.
We no longer have to be bound to that sin any longer. Surrender will release you.
How can we raise our hands in a worship service, praising the Lord, and turn around and fornicate and frolic and cohabit 12 hours later?
There really is an issue of people separating their life in church from their life outside of church.
Ah, okay. Disconnect.
Yeah, absolutely.
A moral and spiritual disconnect.
You have to in order to keep up that lifestyle, you have to disconnect.
Wow. You know, this subject is so critical. Refusal to surrender is going to leave a lot of people cold when it comes time for judgment, isn't it? Wow. Friends, don't take the chance. $15 Save America Ministries is going to bless you with this book, As You Wish. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. We'll be back.
When Jesus described the times leading to his return, he warned that pestilence would ravage the earth. And we're now in those times, and medical experts are warning of plagues, viruses, and life-threatening conditions for which antibiotics are either losing effectiveness or have no effect. MRSA is one of those even ravaging our hospitals. So what can we do? Amazingly, a new technology called Silver Sol has recently been discovered, and this technology is so good and so effective in responding to these conditions that it's even been patented, and it comes in both liquid and gel form. For the safety of your family, I want to urge you to look at Silver Sol. Go to our website now, saveus.org, and get more information. Then order yours today. That's saveus.org or call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Do it today. Don't delay.
I'm so glad that you've joined us here today on Viewpoint to talk about this ultimate issue of surrendering to the Lord. This is not a matter of theological theory. It's a matter of reality. It's a matter of what we do, not just what we think or what we say we believe. If we say we believe something, but our life does not conform to it, by definition, we are not surrendered to the Lord, and we are refusing to submit to His Word. Now, I want to bring up an application here, Mercy. And you have a wonderful first name to bring this subject before us, Mercy. We need all the mercy we can get. But the very concept of mercy is predicated on the idea that we're absolutely guilty before God, isn't it?
Yes.
That's not grace, that's mercy. Mercy is what we need because we're guilty as sin before God.
Right. So mercy is God not giving us what we deserve, which is death and judgment. Mm-hmm. He put that on His Son. Whereas grace is giving us what we don't deserve.
Yeah.
We don't deserve the grace, but we receive that.
Exactly. And He leads us to obey His will by His grace. Now, I want to ask you a question. Will God, by His Spirit, ever lead you to go against what He has delivered in His Word?
You know, I don't believe that God would lead us to sin. I do believe that He allows certain things to come mm-hmm. into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But in His omniscience, He understands what that will bring out of us is
all
greater
right.
than any loss we may suffer, such as
right.
Job or anything. Or even for me in my own life,
mm-hmm.
the reason I'm talking to you today is because I went through a traumatic loss of my mother
mm-hmm.
and my brother in the span of 3 years. And
mm-hmm.
so did God allow that? Yes.
Well, we're not talking about what God allows or what He causes. We're talking about the choices that we make. Does God ever authorize us to make a choice, contending that His Spirit is leading us to make a choice that is directly contrary to His Word?
I do not believe that is in the character of God.
Exactly, because that would make God a liar.
Right.
He would be a dissimulator. He would be two-faced. Certainly not a God we could trust. That brings up a real issue here concerning surrender as it's played out in many of our churches. And that is, Jesus said that the day is now come when the true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, we have some folk who claim that they worship God in truth, but they don't worship God in spirit. Then we have a lot of other folk that claim they worship God in spirit, but they don't much have much love for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have these two opposite positions even in the evangelical church and in our charismatic churches. And I think it's led us to a terrible misrepresentation of the character of God, and neither side is truly surrendered. One is proud about the way they claim to worship God in spirit, but ignore the truth. The other is proud about the way they claim to worship God in truth, but they rebel against the Spirit. True submission, it seems, would be that we would welcome both the Word and the Spirit.
Yes, following after the example that Jesus set for us, that would be the best way to go, because He had the wisdom to know when to speak truth, as He did to Martha,
mm-hmm.
but also when to cry with Mary.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just truth or tears. It's
right.
either or, knowing the wisdom of when to do and who to do it with.
You say that inward surrender must have an outward working. I think we've talked a bit about that, talk with us a little bit more about that. Inward surrender must have an outward working.
Right. This is the way that you prevent your pride from rising up in you as you accomplish the things that God has for you. So if you are truly
mm-hmm.
surrendered, as Jesus was, because He loved, He gave, as it says in John 3:16. So our loving of God leads to surrender to Him. Our surrender to Him then leads us to love who He loves, which is people
mm-hmm.
and lost people. And so as a church, if our light is always around other light, we don't have a chance to shine the light of God. Mm-hmm. Light must find darkness in order for it to really be impactful.
So,
and I feel like the, especially the generation coming up behind me, they're very consumer-oriented when it comes to the Word of God.
Absolutely.
In order to be entertained almost, rather than to be challenged to leave the four walls of the church and go to a lost world.
All right. Let's take a look at a couple of statistics and see how they bear with regard to this idea of surrendering. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come to the Father but by me. But here's what the current belief system is in our country. In the church, professing Christians, 47% of professing evangelical Christians in this country do not believe that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life.
Yeah.
Of their children, ages 18 to 30, 80% of them do not believe that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life.
Wow.
You know what that's telling me? Our young people from 18 to 30 absolutely are rabidly unsurrendered to the truth of the Word of God. They're in open rebellion against it while claiming to be a Christian.
Stunning. Yeah, that's a stunning fact to me. And it says also that as a church, we have to find a way to pass the baton and make it a good exchange.
And how do we do that? It's going to require a massive repentance for our rebellion against the word and will and ways of God and become surrendered, isn't it?
Yeah, sin. All of our sin has repercussions. Whether or not there's forgiveness or those repercussions, we're seeing the result of some of the seeds that have been sown in our generation and the ones coming up behind us. And so for me, my motivation is that my surrender to God has to be generational. I need my children to watch me walk a life worthy of the calling that God has on me so that they can do the same, not because of what I preach, but because of the way I act and behave and what I do with my life.
Mm. All right, Jesus said in the book of John, my will is to do the will of him that sent me. In other words, Jesus said, my will is to do what the Father wills. In the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who not thought it not something to be grasped at to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and became obedient even to the death on the cross.
Yeah.
Now, that is a translation of the meaning of surrender, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that last verse in Philippians is one that really gripped my heart. The fact, the phrase that sticks out to me is not something to be grasped.
Mm-hmm.
And we do a lot of grasping. We do a lot of it.
Yeah.
We grasp our wallets, we grasp our hearts, our bodies, our minds. We do a lot of that. And the example that Jesus set for us was a high bar, but greater is he who's in us than he's in the world. And we have all that we need. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of us.
Yeah.
The Bible says.
All right, now this brings up another application. It's kind of an extension. We're thinking through the implications and applications of these things in real time in our lives. Today, the most despised word in the church is a four-letter word, O-B-E-Y. I've had pastors from denominations for the last 10 years on this program, over and over again, I haven't had one pastor, when asked about this, who disagreed that the word obey is the most despised word in the church. How can that possibly be?
I believe for the same reason that people fear surrender, is that they think that if they just obey God, or if you just surrender to God without holding onto the reins of your life, you'll lose control.
Mm.
Without understanding that that losing control is the best thing that could happen to you because you don't have all the information you need to make the best decisions for your life. God does.
All right, so that's what that bumper sticker meant when it said, let go and let God.
Absolutely, as well as Jesus take the wheel.
Exactly. You know, this is so important. It's very hard to translate this into the life of a culture and professing Christians in that culture who have so abandoned the fear of the Lord for the past 30 to 40 years that we now, the very concept of the fear of the Lord is not understood. In fact, it's despised, as with obedience. If you don't fear the Lord, you're not going to obey Him.
Right.
What child first learns to obey his parents out of love? No, he learns to obey his parents because of tremendous respect for their authority. Then gradually they begin to learn to love that parent when they realize that that parent has their best interests at heart. Isn't that how it works?
It is. It is. Fear is a very effective motivator. And in the kingdom of God, the way that it works is that, yes, we do fear the Lord. It is the beginning, like you said, but it is a trajectory. And love takes you on that trajectory. So, yes, fear is where you need to understand that He is who He is, and He's holy, and He wants us to be holy as He is, not because He wants to put the kibosh on us. It's
right.
Because He wants us to be like Him.
Well,
like, I want my children to resemble me.
Yeah. In fact, the beloved John, the beloved Apostle John, said, "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous."
That's right.
How is it that we can say that's not true?
I think we just choose, we make a choice. We make an informed decision using our flesh mostly to decide that I think I know better than God for my life. I can make a better decision for myself than He can. And I deserve to be in control of my life, when in actuality, none of it is ours. We don't even own our life.
Yeah.
He has it all. You know, He is in control. And so I pray that this book, as people read, the eyes of their hearts would be open, that the Holy Spirit would reveal what only He can reveal to them, and show the areas where they need help, and maybe people would surrender themselves to the Lord.
Well, we'll either surrender now or we'll surrender later. And
that's
later
right.
is too late.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, we used to sing a song, and we're about ready to wrap up here, but we used to sing a song, "All to Jesus I Surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His grace I will freely live. I surrender all."
Yes.
Don't sing that much anymore, do we?
We certainly should.
Yeah.
And really mean it.
I surrender all.
We certainly should. Yeah.
You know, friend, I would just urge you, as you've been listening, we've been trying to massage this issue and probe deeply into the ways that we live, our thoughts, our actions, how it plays out and reveals whether or not we truly are a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service or reasonable act of worship. And the reality is, it ain't true. It just isn't true. We're not living that way, but we need to, because Jesus is coming soon. And that beloved Apostle John said, "Whoever has the hope of the second coming of Christ in him will purify himself even as Christ is pure." It begins with surrender. Thanks for joining us, and get a copy of the wonderful, wonderful book. Your gift of $15 or more to Save America Ministries will put As You Wish in your hands. Burger King was not right. Can't always give the people what they want. You can't always have it your way. But if you'll allow God to have His way, it's amazing what it will do to change your life and bring fulfillment. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. As You Wish, $15. Save America Ministries. It's on our website, saveus.org. God bless you and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.